Okay. Now we're recording. Good morning. If you're listening to this on tape from home, we trust that you are well and blessed. So good morning, church. I want to just continue where we left off last week, if I may, and just talk about prayer. And when I start to look through scripture, I realize there's a lot of familiarity in what we say from week to week. And I also realize after listening to the way Paul ministers that he reminds the church time and time again of the same thing, but with a different aspect to that same thing that he's talking about. And he does mention that to certain churches, he says, it's good for me to remind you of the faith that you have. So he comes across as an encouragement. Paul is somebody who is not afraid to say it as it is. Listen, we suffer persecutions, he says, but praise be to God, we're more than conquerors. And he talks about the gospel in the fullness of the truth of it. He doesn't take one aspect and says, you know, we are blessed, but we are blessed. He doesn't take one aspect and say that we're going to suffer, and we do suffer. He takes the fullness of scripture and he brings it to his audience and he tries to bring it alive. So I just want to bring some scripture. When I read what we read last week, where it says, and pray in the Spirit. This is in Ephesians 6, verse 18, going on the back of spiritual armor and the warfare that we as Christians are warned about, but the armor that we're given to fight that spiritual battle. To say there may be a realm out there that the world tells us is powerful, but we serve a God that has a higher power than the devil does. Amen. Amen. So it says this in verse 18, and we pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert always and keep on praying for the Lord's people. So that's an encouragement for us to be alert. That's an encouragement for us to pray, being led by the Spirit of God. It's an encouragement for us to keep on believing. And in Luke 18, verse 1, Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And when I first read this portion of scripture many years ago, I thought it was about praying for the same thing over and over again. Don't give up. But when you dig in a little bit deeper, I believe it's talking about don't give up your prayer life. Don't give up praying and believing that God is in the ministry of answering our prayers. And he said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God or cared about people. There was a widow there in that town who kept coming to him and pleading, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about people, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." It's what it says in the NLV. Or wear me out. Or he's just had enough. And then in verse 6 it says, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So Jesus gives a parable about an unjust God who don't care about God, doesn't believe in God, and he doesn't even care about people. I hope if I ever have to go before a judge, he does care about people, even if he doesn't trust God. And Jesus is saying, how much more will your Heavenly Father answer your prayer and give you justice in your situation for you who does love and care about God, and you do love and care about people? So if there's a prayer, and if there's prayers that you've had on your heart over the last weeks and months, and maybe you're feeling, is God listening to me? Should I even be praying in this way? Don't give up. Keep on praying. Because from a scriptural point of view, we are given the answer to the question before we even have the question that we ask God. He's already given us the answer. The fulfillment of everything is in Christ Jesus. That's why when Paul encourages us as an apostle, when he encourages through the word which was written through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he encourages us to pray in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. And sometimes we can think it's just something for other people, like maybe we've heard that it's just for people who can pray in tongues. Well, that's not what Paul is saying. If he wanted us to pray in tongues in this situation, I think he would have said it, that we can do that, but it's about praying with an attitude that God is in control, praying with an attitude that even though we can't see a way forward, God's already seen the way forward, praying with the understanding that it's not our timing, it's his timing. Praying with the understanding that he wants to give us the desires of our heart. Praying in a way that when we lift other people up, God does something. And that's part of our prayer life. And some of the answers to our prayers, we may not see the answer until we're in eternity. Some of them we may see today, next week. Does it stop us from praying? If we are lifting up loved ones and those we care about that on the other side of the world or on the other side of the road, and we don't see the answer straight away, should we lose heart? The answer is
no.
I'm glad the answer is no, we shouldn't. So these few messages on prayer isn't to teach us how to pray, because we know how to pray. It isn't to say you should pray more, because you pray in accordance to where God leads you, but it's to encourage us in a corporate setting and saying, listen, God does answer prayer. He's answered prayer in my life, and I'm sure he's answered prayer in your life. And he will continue to answer prayer. But we're the ones that ask, and he's the one that answers. And even though the unjust judge answered that prayer, it's because he got worn down. God never gets worn down when we ask. You know, you have natural children, many of you, and you don't get... Well, no, I'm going to rephrase that. You do get worn down with their asking. But if it's for their well-being, you want to answer their prayers, even if it's not in your capacity to do it straight away. If there's a need there and if it's a financial need, your desire is to help, to serve, to bless, but maybe not now. And that's the same with God. His timing is perfect, and we just want us to be encouraged in that. And to be reminded that in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 it says, "Rejoice always. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for your life in Christ Jesus." And we mentioned this last week. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. And even in the prayers that we were praying this morning, there was a thankfulness. There was an opportunity to say, God, we know that you're in control. Thank you for who you are in my life. And Lord, I lay this prayer before you. So let's rejoice always. And rejoice always sounds as if, you know, we're always got to be happy. But joy, as we've said many times before, is something that happens on the inside. Happiness is an external expression. If you suddenly get the things that you want, you can be happy because it's external. But joy is something that God wants to give us from the inside that will manifest on the outside. The overflow, the Bible says, of the heart, the mouth will speak. So we need to have it in order to give it. So the idea for me just bringing these few messages on prayer is to encourage us to rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Say, Lord, you are the lifter of my head. And in John 11 verse 40, and Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? If you believe, you will see the glory of God." He goes on in 41. So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." And read this scripture before, and it's all about the death of Lazarus. But he turned. You hear Jesus say, "Lord, I thank you that you've heard me." And he said that for those that could hear him, that they would believe that he was sent of God. But when you look through the ministry of Jesus, you will see that term time and time again. "Father, I thank you." When he was feeding the 5,000 on more than one occasion, it says in scripture that he would take the provision that he had, the small in the natural, looking up to heaven, he would say, he would give thanks, and then he would distribute it. And that's a I don't like to use the word keys, but that's a way forward for me and you. We take the small that we may have and we give thanks, and God multiplies it. So the Bible says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, say to this mountain. So if you believe God has said something to you and you believe it, then believe that God will multiply your faith, that he will encourage you as we give thanks. So as we rejoice in the Lord always, as we take what we have in the natural and we offer it up to God, I believe at that point, that's when God can bring us supernatural, something that's far bigger than what we thought or could imagine. So we had the fish and we had the bread, and God brought the multiplication. And I think part of the key for our lives as we take the small amount of faith, the small amount of, did I hear that still voice? Was that God speaking to me? Okay, Lord, I'm taking you at your word. I thank you that you trust me to reveal this to me. You give it to God and he pours out his blessing. So I want to encourage us as we look through God's word together and we read the scripture and we put it into context and we see what the Bible says to us. In Matthew 11:25, at that time Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father," Jesus said. "No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then it goes on in 28 to say, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." God knows the Father. God knows the Son. Sorry. The Son knows the Father, and the Father knows the Son, and the Son knows us, and the Father knows us. And he's chosen to reveal himself to us. That's why we call ourselves Christians. And then Jesus says this, "Come to me, all who are weary." And there's times we are weary and there's times we are burdened. Let's be honest. But he goes on to say, "And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We're yoked to the Lord. And he says, it's an easy yoke. I will lead you in green pastures. I will lead you beside still waters to drink and to have sustenance. Whenever we pray, we give thanks. The Bible talks about praying as if our prayers have already been answered. And that's where the thankfulness comes. But as we look through God's word, as you go home and look through it on your own and you start to read a verse, and then you look at the verses above it and you look at the verses under it and you look at the verses around it, suddenly you will see, hopefully, something different. You will see the context of what the writer is trying to convey to us, the listener, because it's through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's why we pray, being led by the Spirit. That's why we read, saying, "Lord, reveal it to us." It's the Spirit that lives within us. In Luke 11, verse 1, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And we're all very familiar with this. And Jesus said, "When you pray, say, Father, Father, hallowed is your name." And we know the rest. But Father, there's a recognition that we are his children and he is our Father. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter where you are on your journey. It doesn't matter if you have a natural father or you don't. You have a heavenly father. And that's that relationship. So Jesus is teaching his disciples and he's teaching us to connect straight away with that relationship. Father, Abba, Daddy, intimacy. Father, hallowed is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Lord, there's things on earth I want to see manifest as they are in heaven. Lord, I want you to help me to forgive the way you've forgiven me. There's always more than just one thing when we pray. There's always an opportunity to say, "Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit, that there may be an open channel to you, Lord. I want to bring my pain. I want to bring my joy. I want to bring my circumstances, my situation to you, Lord. Father, hear my prayer." That's what we're being taught here in Luke. And if we look at Romans, and this is a portion of scripture that I I want to read out to us. And as I start to look through this and read through it, and if I believe there's a certain portion of scripture that God is encouraging me to share, I like to read around it so that I can get the right context of that small portion that we read out. And it will take maybe 2 days to bring a sentence, because you want to know what God is saying. And in this particular scripture, in Romans 8 verse 39, it says this: neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you and I from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And then when we start to read up a verse, we're encouraged. And we read up a verse, we're encouraged. So I want to try and maybe make this one my last scripture, because there's 40 verses. So if we go right back to Romans 8 verse 1, remember what we said right at the bottom of this scripture. Just remember this: we're talking about prayer, we're talking about the good and the bad and the ugly, we're talking about being honest with God, we're talking about God being our Father, we're talking about bringing the mustard seed, we're talking about in our weaknesses God helps us, even though all we have is a groan. Oh Lord, I don't know what to pray. The Spirit of God helps us. At the end of this, it says, neither height nor depth nor anything else. So let's start at the beginning. I hope you get what I got out of this. I was just encouraged. I just love to read God's word, and I want to read his word to you. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Just imagine this is my sermon. Because when we hear or we teach or we preach, what we try to do is we take a little bit of God's word and then we put our words in. And we give our explanation, and then we make it sound really good, and you feel really good, and you think you've been fed, and away you go. But when we bring God's word, sometimes we can switch off, because we're just reading. But it's not just reading, is it? It's alive, it's active, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. So receive this as if this was the first time you'd heard this being preached. And this is about you. This is about believers, right? So take it on board, please, to help us in our prayer life. Therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. That's good news in verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, our humanness, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, humanity, to be a sin offering, and so he, Jesus, condemned sin in the flesh, our bodies, in verse 4, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's Christian. In verse 5, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. He goes on in verse 6 to say, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. In verse 7 he says, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not know or submit to God's law, nor can it do so. In verse 8 he says, those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, you, however, you church, you man, you woman, you are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But, in verse 10, if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit that lives in you gives life because of righteousness, the right standing that we have through Christ Jesus. Verse 11, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, church, me and you, he who raised Christ from the dead also gives life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit that lives in you. Therefore, in verse 12, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh, to the sinfulness, to the humanity, to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Verse 14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. 15, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. No, rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. That means you have the full rights of the Father to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. In verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that we will receive, and it will be in us. It will be revealed. In verse 19, for the creation waits in eager anticipation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to death or decay and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. Now in 22 he says this, we know that all of creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to this present time. There's been struggle and there's been strain. We can see it all around us. We can read it from a daily perspective. In 23 it says, not only so, but we ourselves have the first fruits of the Spirit. We groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of sonship, the redemption of our bodies. Christ is coming back for us, a victorious church. In 24... for in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? It's something that God has promised us. But in 25, if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. 26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, when we do not know what we ought to pray. The Spirit himself helps us in our weaknesses when we don't know what we ought to pray. The Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. It's God's will that he intercedes for us. This is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that has been given us as a deposit, guaranteeing the glory to come. The Spirit himself will help you and me when we groan, when we say, Lord, help, when we don't have the words to pray. God's already given us a way forward. In 29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, to look like Christ, to be Christ-like, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. God, through the Spirit, when the devil says guilty, the Holy Spirit says innocent. Jesus says, not guilty. The Spirit testifies. In verse 32, he who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Verse 33, who will bring any charge against those who God has chosen? Who? Who will bring any charge? Is it God who justifies? course it is. Who then is the one who condemns? For us, no one. No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and also intercedes for us. God's word is repeated again. Jesus intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble? No. Hardship? No. Persecution? No. Famine? Nakedness? No. Danger? Sword? No. As it is written, for your sake, Paul says, we face death all day long. We are considered like sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, he says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, this is the scripture I read, neither height, nor death, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What does this have to do with prayer? I'm glad you asked. Because when we pray, nothing can separate us from God. When we say, Father, help, he helps. When we say, Lord, come, he comes. When we say, Jesus, move, he moves. When we say, Spirit, testifies, he testifies. He takes the brokenness of the bread. He takes the brokenness of our lives. He takes the fullness of the fish. He takes the fullness of salvation. He takes the weakness of the foolish things. He takes the strength of the wise, and he answers prayer. Because nothing can separate you and me from his love. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever, that's you and I, isn't it? We're the whoever.
Yep.
And if you're listening, or you're listening today and you're not the whoever, you can be the whoever. Because when we look at God's word, we want to pray one for another. But we also want to pray for our loved ones. Now time has gone. Time has disappeared through these moments that we had together. But we can pray together during the week. We can pray next week as a church. We can pray that, one of my prayers is that God will send someone else to preach to my children. Because I'm too close. I pray that God will send someone to preach his word of conviction and convince them of their need for a saviour. I pray for us as a church to grow so we can have influence. I pray that you will be in a position where all your needs are met, that you're financially secure, that you can have and you can share with those that don't have. I pray that for those that are listening and in the room who are suffering in their body, I pray that God will restore that part of your body. We will restore it. I pray that he will use your weaknesses and show the world your strength through it. You may be in a physical state of weakness, but a spiritual state of strength. See, nothing is wasted. That's my prayer for us. And I want to leave you with that thought that Paul says here, that neither height nor death nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God that is found in Jesus Christ. So we pray with thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you that you hear my prayer. That's what it means. Lord, I thank you that you've saved me. Lord, I thank you that I have the right to come before you. In all circumstances, Lord, even though we may struggle, Lord, I thank you that you're with me, leading me. On all occasions, Lord, you're interested in the small things as well as the big things. It might seem insignificant, but I'm giving it to you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.